welcome to Hype episode 129. New year, new us. I say stealing that from Andrew. Sorry, Andrew. It's 2017 and we are back to Hype for another year. We're so excited after the break that has felt like it's been a month, but it's actually just been like 10 days. We are back. My name is Selena and I have Merriman Pam here with me today, all rested from the break.
Yeah, we're ready.
New year, same us, I think is more our hashtag.
New year, same us. Yeah. But what about our resolutions?
Oh.
No, we broke them already.
I was going to watch Westworld, but I forgot. So my bad.
Oh, that'll be fun. We have a lot actually of listener feedback towards the end of the show where I believe that we have a few New Year's resolutions to share there as well. So it'll be fun to see what the listeners have planned. But before we get that far, we have a lot of hype to get through. Some of it good, some of it terrible, because as you guys know, it's been a rough couple of weeks and we're catching up on everything that happened since our last show. The first thing we always do is remind you of our contact information if you want to share your thoughts on this week's news stories or any hype you have about any particular fandom thing or anything you want to tell us. You can do that by tweeting us at HypeableHype, by emailing us hype@hypeable.com, finding us on Hypeable, which is HYPABLE.com, and leaving your comment in the podcast post for this episode. You can find us on Tumblr, which is hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And of course, our, you know, infamous Instagram, which is @hypeablehype on Instagram. So that should be a lot of fun. We look forward to reading all of your Instagram comments on a future show. The first thing we do to start off the show is How We Hype, where we tell you what we've been doing in fandom this past week, or I guess these past couple of weeks. So let's catch up with everyone. What have you been doing over your winter break, other than watching the same movie over and over again? I see. Pam, why don't you start?
I went to the movies a lot, but two of my favorites that I saw were La La Land and Lion. Let's start off with La La Land because it's been out for a while and I've been so excited to see it. You guys, it was so good. I can't even begin to describe. It was just like pure magic and I just loved it so much. It's that this kind of movie is like a movie that was meant for me, or like it's kind of like it plays to everything I like. But I know some people were like unenthused by it. And to you guys, first of all, I think you're a little bit crazy, but that's okay. Everybody has their own opinions. But it was just amazing. And the music was great. And it was just, it was beautiful. I loved it so, so much. So if you guys have not gone out to see La La Land yet, please make it a point to go out and do so. And I hope it doesn't disappoint you, because I think Merima loved it too. I see she's seen it again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I saw it last year before the holidays, before it came out. And I actually had a really funny experience this week because I went to see it with my brother, who is a jazz musician, a jazz pianist. But he also hates musicals. So I was like, this will be great. And he was very disgruntled about the whole experience. But I really liked it again. I thought it was really fun. I don't think it loses the magic the second time around, but I was definitely, there are a couple of things the second time where I was like, oh, this, all right. It wasn't the total immersive experience that it was the first time, but I think that was probably partly his like huffing and puffing next to me at, you know, various plot points. So yeah, would definitely second Pam's recommendation. It's going to win every award. So like, you guys need to get out and see it. Make sure you see it before things get spoiled too. And then you can listen to the soundtrack, which I think I've gushed about on Hype before. It's amazing. I love it. But don't listen before you see the film, because like, I think there's spoilers in it.
I agree. Yeah. And it's so funny because my brother is, he's not a professional musician, but he is like a musician. He's studied like sound mixing and stuff before. So he had some qualms with it that would be way different from like your brother's qualms, like who is obviously a jazz musician. Mine is not, but he had some like technicality issues and it was pretty funny because he came out of it like, it was good, but I just like, it was that thing where I hear it because I know it and it just bothered me. But such like a technicality thing, like if you're like a normal Joe Schmo like me, it will not bother you at all.
I mean, my brother was mostly like, why is he so intense? Like, why is Ryan Gosling so intense? And I was like, he just wants the world to know, like, that jazz music is really important. And he was like, jazz is not important. So, yeah, slightly different perspective. But hey, if you have a grumpy brother, maybe yours will enjoy it more than mine did.
That's amazing. Well, the other movie I saw, which had been out in limited release up until this week in my area, was Lion. And I really loved this movie a lot, too. It's actually based on a true story. And it stars Dev Patel, who, of course, everybody knows from Slumdog Millionaire, or maybe Skins, if you've been following him for a while. Nicole Kidman's also in this, too. She's like the other big name. And also, I think it's Mara Rooney. Is it Mara Rooney?
Yes. Mm-hmm, I think so.
Mara Rooney, yeah. And anyway, the movie is so good. It's about this little boy who gets lost. He accidentally falls asleep on a train when he's not supposed to like be on there. And he ends up 16,000 kilometers away from his hometown. And because he doesn't speak the dialect, there's so many different dialects in India, he's never really able to find his way home. And eventually he gets adopted by this Australian family and goes to live over there with them. And it's not until he's much older that he decides that he really wants to go look for his family and look for his mother and his brother and sister. But of course, it's kind of this impossible feat because after, you know, when he gets older, he realizes that the name that he thought, like, of the town that he thought he was from, like, doesn't exist. And so then he has to rely on, like, mathematics and stuff like that to kind of figure out the range of, like, the search range in which he would have to look for. Basically, the only thing he has to go off of is, like, the image that he's had in his mind this whole time of the train station that he got lost on, like, originally. So it's incredibly compelling. Please wear waterproof mascara if you wear mascara like I do, because I did not. And I looked like a crazy person coming out of this. But it was so, so good, and I highly recommend it as well.
Cool. I can't wait to see both of those films when they eventually premiere in my country. So, I mean, I know you have another one, Marima, but I will just share mine. The first one, because I was on holiday this past week, and I had a wonderful time. I was in Malta, and there was sun, and it was beautiful. And, of course, I had to find some time to read some books because, you know, breaks don't happen very often, and it's nice to be able to sit down and spend some time with a book. And the first one I read was finally the series that I've sort of been slow reading for the past several years is Jean M. Owl. I never know how to say her name, but that series, Earth's Children, about, you know, prehistoric times, a girl who grows up with Neanderthals, and then she finds her own people, and it's about her sort of struggle with that. And this was the third book in the series, and I really enjoyed it. Though I think I loved the first book, and I also really loved the second book because it's kind of like her in the wild, you know, surviving, and she has all these animal friends, and she's like a prehistoric Disney princess, and I think it's wonderful. And then in the third book, they sort of I don't know if you guys have ever had this feeling when you're reading a book and you really like it, but you cannot stand like one of the main characters, and it just everything to do with that character and everything they stand for and everything they represent just really bothers you. That's how I feel about the main male character, whose name is Jundalar, and he is just the worst. And he's like the love of her life, and it like doesn't matter that he is the worst and does the worst things and thinks the worst things. He just continues to be the one because that's what the author has decided, and it makes me so mad. And I'm going on a rant now, and I'm gonna try to stop myself, but just, you know, it in short terms, it makes me so mad because it kind of represents to me this idea that when an author is sort of stuck to a preconceived idea about where the story is gonna go, and they kind of ignore like what the characters want, you know what I mean? Like, that happens sometimes in fiction, and you're just like, oh, but that's not where the story wants to go, and you're trying to force it into this hole it doesn't fit into. So that's how I feel about that. And I was halfway through, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to continue the series, but now I'm at the end, and I'm actually curious, because the writing is stunning, and I'm in love with the universe of it, so I might continue on to the fourth one after all. But I'm just really curious. Do you guys have that sense as well, where you just, like, one character just ruins it for you, even though you love everything else?
Usually I stop reading unless it's, like, amazing, if that's the case.
Yeah.
I'm terrible with that, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I often have it where, like, a character, I really don't like a character, but, like, I can kind of understand them. If that happens, I can keep going. If I just, like, really, really hate a character, depends how big they are, but if, like, I really can't stand them being on the page, if they're, like, a huge part of the book, then it makes it really hard to keep going. Same as with Pam. I mean, I can't think of examples now, of course, because, like, I can't think of anything.
Oh, go ahead. The big one for me was The Vampire Diaries. I hated Elena on the page. This was, like, way back when, but, like, I have vivid memories of just, like, hating the way that she came off and just tossing it aside. And it completely seeped into the idea of the TV show, so I didn't watch it for a very long time. And then finally I binged it, and I was like, oh, thank God that they, like, fixed her.
Yeah, because Elena's very different. Yeah.
Yeah, she's just so narcissistic, so full of herself, like, and she's the main character, and it's from her point of view. It's like, if it's something like that, I have to stop, because why am I going to put myself through it? I hope she gets better. I never went back to it, but if you've read the series, let me know, because I'd be curious.
I just always find myself, like, thinking that whenever there's a female lead character, it's very, her love interest hardly ever lives up to her, and that really annoys me. Like, I'm a huge Tamora Pierce fan as well, but in every series that she has, I love the main female character, and I hate the romance, and it's like, you know, I'm torn in so many different directions. Anyway, that's a whole other discussion for another time. Welcome to Book Hype, everyone. But I do have another book that I wanted to talk about, which is kind of timely now, because the trailer for the Hulu adaptation was just released. I'm, of course, talking about Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. I picked it up specifically because of the forthcoming Hulu series. It's one of those books that should be required reading, and I'm sure they are in some parts of the world, but not for me, because, you know, Denmark has its own literature canon, and we read like a fraction of American and British literature compared to what we read of our own. But I'm so glad that I finally got to read it, because it's extremely poignant and extremely timely and extremely just a sharp reminder that, you know, the liberties that we have and the freedoms that we have and everything that we feel like makes us advanced is so fragile and is so precarious. And, you know, recent events like the election, I remember when the election was happening, a lot of people were referencing The Handmaid's Tale, specifically because, you know, you watch a nation progress, and then something happens, and those sort of, that progress is wiped away so easily, and people sit back and they complain, and some people protest, but it happens anyway, and you feel kind of helpless to stop it. And I think The Handmaid's Tale is sort of just a cautionary tale that is very important, and I think it's perfect timing for the show to premiere on Hulu, which happens in April. I'm sure you guys have both read it.
Yeah, I love that book. I think it's my favorite. It's really cliche, but it's probably my favorite Margaret Atwood, although if you like that, you should definitely check out some of her other stuff, because she does, like, just such weirdly interesting, she has such a cool take on sci-fi and just what she does with, like, that sort of genre in a kind of spec way. But yeah, I'm very excited for the Hulu thing. And then, like, Alexis Bledel was just cast in that, and the trailer looks really cool, and, like, it's all kind of, I don't know, I mean, it's there's been a lot of adaptations of that before, but like you said, this kind of seems like an important time for one to happen, unfortunately. Yeah.
And Alexis Bledel is in it. Surprise.
Yeah. You know?
I don't think anyone knew that. And Merima, you have a final How We Hype?
Sure. Just to wrap things up with some music. Haha, Pam, I can do it too. I was definitely checking out this week the new Ed Sheeran singles, because I love Ed Sheeran so much. I know it's, like, not cool to like Ed Sheeran, but I don't care.
What?
And yeah, it's like, all my friends are like, no, Ed Sheeran is really lame. And
well,
I'm like,
your friends
Ed
are
Sheeran
stupid.
Is,
in that one regard.
Ed Sheeran is amazing. That is accurate, because Ed Sheeran is the bomb. He's like a real life Weasley. He's like adorable and just great and love life. Anyway, yeah, he released two singles this week. He released Shape of You and Castle on the Hill, which are from his album. I guess it's Divide is how you say it. He's got these kind of math themed ones. This is the third one. So we'll see what else is going on that. But yeah, it's been a really long time since he's released anything. So it's been really sad. So he dropped two singles. I really like Castle on the Hill. It's kind of a classic Ed Sheeran song that makes you feel nostalgic for something that hasn't happened to you, even though it's got like a bit more of a beat to it. Shape of You is like a bit more, I'm not into Shape of You so much. I think it's meant to be more of a kind of like banger hit, but it's fine, whatever, something for everyone.
I don't like Shape of You either. I think it's a little bit lazy, sorry to say, but that's like the impression I got. But I love
originally
the
he wasn't writing it for himself, which is I don't know if you guys heard this. Yeah,
who he was like, was this the sorry, go ahead.
He was basically just writing, like, he was writing songs for other people, and as he was working on it, like, halfway through, he just was working with some other people and said, oh, like, maybe this could be, like, something good for a Rihanna type, and then he mm-hmm. kind of got to the end, and they said, no, not really for Rihanna, but you clearly like it, so you should put it on your album, and so he did. It's the last song they recorded for his forthcoming album, so.
Yeah, it feels, I definitely feel like, that makes sense. It definitely sounds like it's something that he has written for someone else, because it just doesn't totally gel with like his vibe. But hey, I mean, if he's having a good time, whatever. If that was the only single they'd released, I would have been kind of bummed out. But Castle on the Hill is great and like classic Sheeran, so I'm fine with it.
I think that I really enjoyed that he did release two songs that are kind of two separate entities, because it shows kind of both sides of like who he is in a way, because I would akin Shape of Your Body more to like a Sing, which really kind of took the world mm-hmm. by storm. It really allowed like a wide variety of people to become enamored by Ed Sheeran and his music, which is good because he deserves more credit, like Mermo was saying earlier. And then Castle on the Hill is a really nice like fan tribute, because it's people that have been following him for a while can fall in love with something like that, because it's Ed but better. And I'm gonna be really interested to see it's gonna be interesting to see how like all of that falls into place on the full album. But to me, like, so far it really sounds like he's kind of going for that big stadium arena sound, which is so interesting because so much of his music makes you feel like you want to watch him in an intimate setting. But mm-hmm. it's got yeah. kind of that larger, like, there's so much going on. So, yeah, two thumbs up from me, too.
Okay, and to finish up How We Hype, just wanted to let you guys know that we have contacted the winners from our huge 8,000/8 book giveaway that we were doing at the end of last year. Thank you so much to everyone who entered, and it was really fun reading all of your fandom resolutions that you left on that podcast post. So sorry if you didn't win, but there will definitely be more things in the future, so just keep an eye out. And congrats to the people who won, and once you get your books, make sure you send us a pic, because we want to see how you're hyping once you get them, and hopefully you enjoy.
Absolutely. Okay, so before we go on, we just have a little ad to share with you that I want to just put in here before I forget. So Duobook is an app that lets you switch between reading and listening to the same story without losing your place. You can read for a while, you can switch to the audiobook, and then you'll be in the right spot, or vice versa. Duobook is offering some free classic Sherlock Holmes stories to hypeable listeners. It's a fun to pick out Easter eggs in the Sherlock episodes that you would only catch if you read the classic stories. This includes stories like A Scandal in Bohemia, A Study in Scarlet, and The Six Napoleons. You can visit duobook.com/hypable to download the app. So moving on to news now. The first story of the news is obviously, it has to be this one, because even though it's one of the, I mean, we're pretty much bookending with sad news this week, but this is one that broke soon after we recorded our end of year special. And yeah, why don't you take it away, Mirma?
Yeah, so unfortunately, right after we recorded our special, we got the news that Carrie Fisher, beloved actress, activist, Twitter user, dog mother to the beautiful Gary, Unfortunately, died on the 27th of December at 60. And then, like, to just make it even more tragic, the next day, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, suffered from an apparent stroke and died at the age of 84. So it was just like all around really, really horrible news for obviously for their family and particularly for Carrie Fisher's daughter, Billie Lourd, but just also for like kind of the collective world who, between the two of these women, look, you know, basically anyone who's any has any involvement in sort of pop culture, entertainment, has some kind of connection to one of them at least. And I definitely felt like really, really heartbroken over this. I mean, I know people who listen to Hype obviously know that like we are huge Star Wars fans, but actually I first saw Carrie Fisher in The Blues Brothers, which is like one of my all-time favorite movies, as
Love
like
that movie.
the nail painting like a woman who like blows up all the houses and has the you know, the bazooka and everything, and she's just like amazing. So, and then Debbie Reynolds, who, you know, she's like been just a star of like musical theater since she was really, really young. And people who listen to Hype might remember her as playing Grace's mother on Will and Grace, which she was rightfully hilarious. I knew her first in Singing in the Rain, which was kind of her big break, because that's like probably my favorite movie of all time. Probably the two, Blues Brothers and Singing in the Rain are like my two favorite movies ever. So, yeah, it was like really, really, really heartbreaking. And I mean, not to like to say that, you know, this isn't sad or anything like that, but there was a very Carrie Fisher moment that happened just like a couple days ago now in 2017, where they had the service for the two of them. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but Carrie Fisher's urn was this giant Prozac pill. Like, they decided to use this giant Prozac pill, which just seemed appropriate for her, something slightly off the wall and, you know, like a testament to her sort of struggles and the way she's been so open about everything. So, yeah, really, unfortunately, horribly sad news to start the show.
I mean, Carrie Fisher was just such a well, at the end of the day, I think, as you know, most of my sadness for this obviously is for Billie Lourd, because or La Lourd, who has just suffered such an unbelievable loss. And I think that that is what sort of breaks my heart the most about this. But I think in terms of, especially for me, Carrie Fisher, what was so fantastic about her was that she had, you know, obviously she was in the Star Wars movies, the first Star Wars movies, and then she had this period where she suffered and she went through a lot of hardships, and she dug herself into this hole and then she dug herself out of it, you know, and then she emerged on the other side and she was beloved and she was successful and she was back in the Star Wars movies. And not that, I mean, I'm happy that she got that, but it feels like she had so much left to do, you know, like she was in the middle of this fantastic life that she had gained after all that she had been through. And I think, you know, obviously it's been a few weeks now and we can sort of talk about this some more rationally than we may have been able to at the time, but I just that it kept sort of squeezing at my heart every time I thought about it, because she just wasn't done, you know. And in terms of, I mean, it seems so stupid to focus on the movies because that's not what this is about, but even just in terms of her, Leia, who had meant so much to so many people and meant so much to her as well, she wasn't done either. You know, she had so much left to do as well. We know how important story and female role models especially are, and in this time that is so dark as it is, it just, you know, this character that had the last line she uttered on screen technically was hope, and to see this happen, it sort of does take away, you know, something from the world. And I think the loss of Carrie Fisher is going to be a big one. I think we feel her absence, and we're going to continue to feel her absence for a long time, because she was such a force of good.
Yeah, that was a really beautiful obituary like note to her from Mark Hamill as well. If people haven't read it, I would definitely recommend that they read that about their relationship and about just like the kind of force of nature that was Carrie Fisher, if you actually knew her, rather than just feeling like you knew her, which is I think how like a lot of us do feel. So yeah, that was like super beautiful. And I guess the other thing to note about this is there is an HBO documentary that's, I mean, just to add just to add to the pain, called Bright Lights, starring Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, which is about their relationship, which was very complicated and tumultuous, and you know, Carrie Fisher sort of depicted it in Postcards from the Edge, the book, and then the film, which starred Meryl Streep, which I think it actually premiered on HBO over the weekend. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but yeah, I definitely, you know, that's something, if you can stand it now, like you said, Selena, it's been a couple weeks. That's probably something worth watching when you can find the heart to do it.
Honestly, like Star Wars is like, I grew up on Star Wars, but I think Debbie Reynolds passing hit me more in this strange way. But I think it's also because I grew up on, you know, Debbie Reynolds and Judy Garland and Doris Day and Shirley Temple and stuff like those kind of movies were so ingrained in my childhood. Like the first, you know, film that I ever put into the VCR when I was like 2 or 3 years old was The Wizard of Oz. So I think I gravitate more towards that. Like they have more of an emotional tie for me than Star Wars, which I saw when I was a little bit older, maybe around like 7 or 10 or something like that. So I don't think I realized like how big of a deal it was to hear that she had passed and then so tragically so soon after her daughter. But that one teared, like it made me tear up a little bit. And I think that like it's okay. I think a lot of people like when celebrities pass, there's like this stigma that like you shouldn't be sad if you didn't know them, but in a way they do kind of belong to the people. So yeah, just a gentle reminder to let people grieve the way they want to grieve, because you don't know what certain people mean to others.
Yeah, good point. All right, so rest in peace to both of them. Way to go, 2016. You did it again. So we're gonna stay on Star Wars for a little bit to talk about some more in fiction news, which is regarding the Han Solo spin-off movie. Specifically, the news that broke in early January that Woody Harrelson is in talks to join this spin-off movie, which, yeah, anyway, we can talk about that. And Variety is reporting that he is in talks to play a mentor to the young Han Solo, who's obviously being played by Alden Ehrenreich. The movie also stars Donald Glover and Emilia Clarke. And Christian Bale was also being considered for the mentor role, which I think is interesting, an interesting switch from him to Woody Harrelson. But yeah, obviously Woody Harrelson, a mentor role, and Woody Harrelson, you obviously immediately think Hunger Games, and you know, Han is the new Katniss apparently, which is kind of hilarious. So yeah. How do we have any strong feelings about this, either good or bad?
Are they just casting every like curmudgeonly dude, seeing they can't have Harrison Ford in this movie? Like it feels like Harrison Ford casting.
Oh, interesting. I hadn't thought about that. That's interesting. All I can think about is again this kind of also the news that Christian Bale was being considered. I know it's a dumb thing to because there's no point in complaining about this because it's obviously going to happen a lot, but after the superhero movie wave and stuff, like all of these huge actors are just continuing to be cast in these like really intense fandom things, and it's really hard for me every time. Like Johnny Depp, obviously not the same thing, but like Colin Farrell and Fantastic Beasts and Woody Harrelson and this, and I'm just like, no, my fandoms.
I mean, I like Woody
But I mean,
Harrelson.
I'm
Do you
not
not like
opposed to it.
him?
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, yeah, I do. It's just, you know, I look at him and I see Woody Harrelson, and I'm gonna be like, what's Woody
Well,
Harrelson doing
he's
in
one of those
space?
people that tends to play the same person in most movies, like even like
Yeah.
Zombieland, Hunger
Right.
Games, you know. But I mean, can't deny that he's good at playing that. So if they need somebody that's like that, I guess it's better to go with somebody you know can deliver. I don't know.
It's going to be good. Yeah. I mean, I'm getting my curmudgeon-y you know, thing honestly, out of the way. I think it's going
to
be good.
Also, like, if the last, like, two Star Wars films or anything to go by, everybody they've cast has done brilliantly. I've never, like, I haven't gone into either of those movies and come out thinking they should have cast somebody else for that. So
yeah,
I think like I'm just like oh, I'm gonna let you do your thing, Disney/Lucasfilm, and you've made good decisions so far. So hopefully they keep doing that.
Okay, speaking of big stars in weird fandom things, we got some news about this bizarre Holmes and Watson comedy that we are supposedly getting from Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, who people will probably know best from Step Brothers. So we have now found out, we knew that they were playing, Ferrell is playing Sherlock Holmes and Reilly is going to be playing Watson. And we've since found out that Hugh Laurie and Ralph Fiennes are joining this movie, which is just like, gets more and more perplexing to me the more that I know about this. Cause you know, we needed more Sherlock Holmes in our lives. I don't know. You guys into it or do you share my confusion?
No.
Yeah, lol. Like, things I did not need in my life. Will Ferrell as Sherlock Holmes.
I mean, yeah, I just can't. I just can't with this Sherlock Holmes thing just being done and done and done and done again a million times. Look, just, and then this constellation is just absurd.
Yeah, right?
Not in a good way.
The only thing that, like, makes me feel better about this is that I'm assuming they're not, like, setting out to make a serious Sherlock movie. Like, if it's Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, it's kind of going to be, I'm assuming it's going to be some kind of a parody thing. I don't necessarily think that we need it, but I don't know.
But well, what is also, funny, like,
huh?
Well, I was going to say, what's funny about this is, like, I'm now envisioning a situation in which Ferrell and Reilly are this kind of, like, American version of Sherlock Holmes, and then Laurie and Fiennes are going to be, like, the uptight British counterparts to them or something, because, you know, they're, like, incredibly well-regarded actors and not necessarily, you wouldn't necessarily pick that they would be in a movie like this. You know, this wouldn't be like your kind of go-to for them. So I wonder if they're meant to be sort of the foil, or maybe the comedy is going to come from, like, I don't know, them being kind of more traditionally what we would expect in a Sherlock Holmes movie. But yeah, I don't think I'll be watching this.
I probably will, but no. I should confess that my family has this thing about Will Ferrell movies. So much so that as a joke, we named one of our dogs Ricky Bobby. So which of course is his character in Talladega Nights. I'll probably end up watching this. And so if you're curious, I'll report back whenever this ends up coming out, because it's become an inside ongoing joke, basically, that my stepmom's favorite movie is also Step Brothers. So that kind of gives you an idea of how seriously we take this obsession. Yeah. Stay tuned, guys. But moving on from one reboot to another, we have some TV reboot news. Charmed is actually going to be coming back to the CW. And this is really interesting because it's not what you might expect. It's actually kind of more of a prequel, maybe. So basically what we know about this is that it's going to be set in 1976, which is kind of a big deal if you have ever watched this show, because you'll know that at this point, all of the Charm's sisters, who are Prue, Piper, and Phoebe, they've all been born at this time and would be about 6 years old in the original timeline of the show. So everybody's kind of speculating as to whether or not it, like, they'll tie into this new Charmed series that's going to be premiering on the CW at some point. At this point, the show is still very much in development, so we don't know very much about whether or not we'll see any of the original cast members coming in, or if we'll see, you know, any of the original storylines, like, weaving in and out or anything like that. But it does have fans wondering if we will, just based on when they've decided to set this new series. And in the Hypeable.com article where we first reported about this earlier this week, Karen, who does a bunch of podcasts for Hypeable and also wrote up this story, is a huge Charm fan, so she's got some theories as to how this could tie into the original show, and talks about how time travel is a thing that has happened in the original 90s show. So perhaps we could see the sisters going back in time to, you know, this time when the new show will take place and all that stuff. So if you want to read more about that, head over to Hypeable and you can follow along on what's been going on with regards to this. But it's definitely exciting news if you're a Charmed fan, or maybe you're cautiously excited because you love the show so much. But yeah.
Do you guys remember when they rebooted, or they did a prequel to Sex and the City?
The Carrie Diaries.
The Carrie Diaries?
Yes.
Yes.
That's right. Didn't it only last for like one season?
To be fair, they were books also. Like she wrote books first.
Remember when they tried to do a Gossip Girl prequel with the mob?
Oh, I was really into that. It had wasn't it that girl from Pitch Perfect?
And it was a No Doubt song.
I can't remember.
She was also in that jazz 50s show that I really liked. Brittany Snow,
yeah, she was the
American Dreams.
Lily.
That was a good show.
American Dreams.
It was like Lily and her sister in like these amazing like 80s clothes, and you're just waiting for teenage Rufus to turn up. That was
I
loved that
this,
episode.
Because they did a backdoor pilot. That's the backdoor pilot, right?
Yeah. That's how you do it, Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
And then Jess is moody and like goes to meet his dad. Yeah, that was, I mean, if they want to bring that back, I would still watch that Gossip Girl prequel now.
My point was just to say that I am always anxious about these reboots that especially the CW tries to do. I'm obviously not a Charmed fan. It's one of those shows that are on my list of shows that seem like stuff that I would like. But I mean, I know that fans have very mixed opinions about this. Some are excited because I think any reboot is sort of a rebirth of the fandom. Like even with Gilmore Girls, we saw, even though I know you guys, I've garnered that your feelings on the reboot maybe are not 100% positive.
How dare you?
The lead up to it was fantastic, and the fandom just kind of rose out of the ashes, and there were all these think pieces and stuff. And I think in terms of that, a reboot like that is always a good, but how it actually does is kind of uncertain.
Honestly, too, like the Charmed fandom has not gone away over time, similarly to the Gilmore Girls fandom. I mean, like all of these actresses are still working. Like Holly Marie Combs, for example, is on Pretty Little Liars right now. That's about to end. But yeah, they've never really gone away. And every time they're in the news, like the Charmed fans just like gather to that. So I'm sure that plays like a big role in terms of deciding whether or not to revisit a series. I remember watching Charmed, but it was, I don't remember it enough to remember like a lot of the plot points aside from the fact that it was set in San Francisco for a period of it, maybe, or maybe all of it. I don't know. It's
I
very
think all of
cheesy.
It.
Yeah, but
That was also like
fun.
Yeah, I've seen some episodes of Charmed. There was some like Merlin graphics in there. You know, it was a little funny, but it was fun.
But also forgivable because it was the 90s. So
right,
you
exactly.
To be kind of bad.
exactly. I distinctly remember there were like later series where like Kelly Cuoco like was in it for some reason, and that happened. I think those are like the dark ages of the Charmed years, when maybe some of the main cast started to leave. But one thing that I do remember from Charmed is like they always had these crazy cameos now when you go back and watch it, of these big stars who did episodes here and there. So even if they don't do a kind of a Hobbit thing where like they start off with Frodo like writing the book or whatever, you know, if they don't include the sisters as the characters, I would be incredibly surprised if they don't turn up just in roles or like doing something in the show anyway.
We will have to wait and see and keep you guys posted as we learn more. Now As we're recording, the TCAs, the Television Critics Association panels are going on, and that obviously means that, you know, we will probably finish recording and then something huge is going to break, but we will do our best to round up what has been revealed so far, which I think is pretty much the big stuff, at least for the CW, which is sort of one of my main areas of interest. It should be obvious by now, so that's what I'm going to focus on here. The CW has announced that it has issued early, I guess not really early because it is mid-season for these shows, renewals for really most of its shows. The surprises are in the absences, not in what has been renewed. Surprise! Supernatural is coming back for season 13 because it is the show that will not die. It's pretty hilarious.
Like the characters.
It just keeps going on. But exactly, like the characters. It keeps coming back. But I think that's great. I think the fandom for that is really good, and it carries on and just keep fighting. It's fantastic, and all the best to them. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is coming back, which was a big surprise. And I know that Mark Pedowitz, the CW president, is sort of having to defend that choice a little bit because I don't think it got very good ratings, but people are loving it. It's high on my list of shows that I wanna watch. Jane the Virgin got another season, which is fantastic. iZombie and the entire Arrowverse of Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, The Flash, and Supergirl. They are all coming back, and they also announced that they're going to have the second best thing to a Return of Constantine, which is a Constantine animated series with Constantine himself being voiced by Matt Ryan, who obviously played him in the TV series. Was that on NBC? Constantine?
I want to say yes.
Constantine appeared on one of the shows at one point. I'm so sorry. I never watched Constantine. So, but I know that several Hyperbol staff members are just
Constantine was
with
on
joy right now,
Arrow.
Donya. Oh, that was Arrow.
Yeah,
that was the one. Yeah,
mm-hmm. That was like a crossover episode with Arrow. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Constantine was on NBC.
Yeah. So anyway, this is fantastic news, and obviously there are some absences. People are like, oh, where's the 100 and where's blah blah blah, but I mean, the CW has not renewed any of the shows that haven't premiered yet because a bunch of them, including the 100 and the originals, are not premiering until I think next month is when they're both coming back, so any renewal or cancellation announcement wouldn't come before the new season has premiered, obviously, so that kind of sort of is on hold for now. So, I mean, any of these stand out to you guys? Are you particularly excited about any of them coming back?
I really have to watch Jane the Virgin.
Yeah.
Guys, what season
is
this?
I'm watching it. It's really
good.
It's
so good. It's so great.
Well, like, how many seasons are there?
Three, I think.
Oh,
now?
So much.
I thought there were like five.
Honestly, but, yeah. Here's the thing. The thing about Jane the Virgin, of course, that everybody knows is that it's adapted from a telenovela. Originally was a telenovela. And the thing about telenovelas is that you can kind of almost jump in at any point and kind of get a feel for what's been going on. Like, you'll miss some of the smaller points, but they do a really good job of catching you up. I think that that's one of the ways that this is one of the most true to adaptations of telenovelas in American television I've ever seen. So if you really wanted to, like, you know, only watch season one and then skip forward, you could probably do that.
Oh, but everyone says it's so good, and I want to be part of
it. It is really good.
What people are... This is my constant struggle. Like, I want to be part of the thing, but I don't want to watch the thing. Like, I don't want to put in the time.
Yeah, you should just
watch
the first episode of the thing and see if you want to commit. But it's
I think I probably
so
do. It
charming,
sounds,
and
yeah,
Jane
it sounds
is so
amazing.
Great, and it's just so hilarious. And you'll love it because, like, yeah, you'll love it. It's
yeah.
up your alley.
I also really want to watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I've watched a bunch of musicals, like the musical segments from it, and they are hilarious. And I've seen a couple episodes here and there, but I want to, like, I think I've seen the first couple episodes, actually, when she moves. But I want to go back and watch the whole thing because it seems amazing. And Rachel Bloom is really, really funny. I mean, mm-hmm. as for the others, like, I'm so behind on Arrow and Legends and The Flash and Supergirl. So, sorry, guys, I used to host a superhero podcast. Who would have thought?
Well, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, a lot of these are actually also all on Netflix. So if anybody is looking to catch up, it's a great place to do that. Because Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is on Netflix. That's where I watched the first season. which I love, but it also gives me a lot of secondhand anxiety. I have a problem, you guys, and that's my main problem, is I can't watch other people's embarrassment because I feel it too much. But I think all of the rest of them are on there too, so if you're interested in catching up on any of these, you can head over to Netflix to do that.
Absolutely. And yay, Supergirl. It successfully transitioned, which is nice. So it's now on the CW and thriving, which
that's,
is fantastic.
That's another show that's getting really good. I know that we talked about how, like, we were a little unenthused by the first few episodes of season one, like, after the pilot. But I'm really happy I got back to that one because I've been enjoying it. So,
yeah. All right, so sort of staying on the CW for a little bit, because even though the 100's fate is still undecided because the season hasn't premiered yet, we did get a tiny new promo for the 100 season 4, which you can find over on hyperbole.com. It's very short, but it's actually potentially even better than the longer first promo. And it reveals some really cool things. And as Pam knows, I was recently very surprised by by the 100 that I got very excited. So I'm not going to say too much about this promo, also because Pam and Marima are watching the show for the first time. So I don't want to give anything away. But it's looking very good. And I am very enthusiastic and optimistic about season 4, which premieres on February 1st. So catch up if you haven't yet.
Well, moving on to some news that made me really sad. Earlier this week, we found out that the Disney Channel canceled Girl Meets World. We're coming up to the final three episodes, and then it'll officially be over. I know you guys didn't really get into this, but I really enjoyed this. I feel like this is what this is basically everything I wanted a reboot to be, because while it was awesome for the nostalgic moments, I felt like they did a really good job of making sure that they focused on the new characters, and it just got better and better as it went along. And I was just really sad to hear that this was the case, although I kind of felt like it was going to happen, because now that all of the kids are in high school in the timeline of the show, they're getting to the point where, like, I would feel like a lot of the material probably isn't appropriate for the Disney Channel, but it is really sad that it had to end because of that. It's kind of like the three-season Disney Channel curse. Even though they say that they've kind of, like, swayed away from this, most shows only last about three seasons on the Disney Channel. Like, Lizzie McGuire is a good example of that. And then it kind of started to change with things like Hannah Montana and The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. But most shows only last about three seasons, and then they feel like kids maybe either get bored of it if they're watching at home, or with the case of Girl Meets World, I really think it's like the subject matter. There was a point in this season, actually, where they were all learning about, like, their ancestors and stuff, and one of the kids found out that his family was Jewish and also perhaps held in a concentration camp in Germany, but they never really, like, addressed it. They never addressed the idea of the Holocaust. They never, like, talked about concentration camps, but the kid said his family was Jewish and escaped in the 40s. So they gave the timeline. It was kind of like one of those things, like, if you know, you know. But aside from this kid, like, clearly being traumatized, like, they never really went into it. And so, yeah, it was, like, it's really tough, but it was nice to see them kind of tackling certain issues like that. They also had a really great episode about, like, bullying and cyberbullying, kind of in the form of text messages and stuff. And, like, the acting was so good. Anyway, I could go on and on about Girl Meets World, but it's really sad that it's gone. And I'm really still hoping that perhaps, like, something like a Freeform will pick it up, because I think that kind of like with Boy Meets World, there's a good opportunity to kind of show the growing pains of what happens throughout high school and also, like, maybe even perhaps, like, up until college. But it's too bad that it won't be getting that chance on the Disney Channel. So, yeah. If you haven't seen it yet, though, it's worth watching. The first few episodes of season one are, like, kind of a little cringy because it's finding its footing. But after you get to, like, mid-season one, season two, season three, all of that is amazing.
So sad. I'm so sorry this got canceled. It seemed like they were really trying something new, and it's always sad when that gets cut down. So moving on now, speaking of someone, I guess, constantly reinventing itself and himself quite literally, is Doctor who is coming back for season 10, and there's a new trailer out which focuses on introducing the new companion Bill, who is already my favorite character, and I love her. And I have to be 100% honest that the constellation of the current Doctor and Clara put me off to such a degree that I completely stopped watching, and I have been into all of the Doctor companion constellations up until then, so it was really disappointing. But now with Bill, played by Pearl Mackey, joining Capaldi, it seems, based on the trailer, Bill just seems like a fun, sort of whimsy character that really goes well with the general vibe of Doctor Who, and I think fits Capaldi's much more serious, dark, dramatic Doctor. I think that fit is going to be really well and really good for the show, and is definitely enough to make me give it a real chance after just completely zoning out and not caring for a while. Have you guys seen this?
I'm not watching Doctor Who anymore. It's too sad for my heart to do it. I'm really glad that you're into it, but I've been burned too many times, so I just can't do it anymore.
I mean,
and
this is the last.
Yeah.
This is the last season of Stephen Moffat as showrunner. So maybe when Chris Chibnall takes over, in season 11, that will be like a different chapter for you.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just done with it, which is totally okay as well.
I mean, it's really sad because it was like a huge part of my childhood, but like, I just genuinely can't with Stephen Moffat. Like, I just, it's too much. So yeah, maybe when he's done, I'll check it out again. But for now, I'm just pretending like, oh, wasn't it sad that Doctor Who was canceled after Matt Smith's first season? Oh, what a shame. That was such a great season. Okay,
oh, no.
The end. Wow, bye.
Wow.
That's so sad. I feel so bad that it's been ruined for you. You know, I've been meaning to get back to Doctor Who for a while, so maybe it's always good to start in with the new companion. Maybe I'll check it out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we should. Mm-hmm. I definitely will.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Very hyped.
All right. Well, that's it for TV news. Let's jump over to some books to finish up. As always, Harry Potter time, guys. I couldn't be hyped without it. So we have learned that there's a new edition of Fantastic Beasts coming. There are new covers. There's new details. There's going to be a new forward, I think. J.K. Rowling is writing all of this, so it's all new canon, and I guess she's updating the book to be more in line with what happens in the movie, now that we know that there's going to be 5. So the covers are pretty cute. There's a UK cover, which is a little more cartoony. There's an American cover that's sort of more typography kind of style. I really like the American one, actually. And I believe that the proceeds for this are still going to Comic Relief, which is the charity that the books were going to when they were first published back in 2001. So that was a really long time ago. We were very, very young. We are very, very old now. Yeah, so if you are, you know, building out your Harry Potter collection, getting all of the new editions as they come out, unlike when they release the Harry Potter ones with new covers, there is actually new stuff in this. And there's going to be illustrations as well, and the inclusion of 6 new beasts, I guess maybe also like some of the ones from the film. So check that out. It's coming soon, 2017. Exciting, etc. Anyone buying this? I don't know. I mean, I'm not buying this, but I like the cover.
Well, I like my original Fantastic
Yeah,
Beasts.
Me too.
It's kind of sad
too.
That there's no Mooncats in there.
Stolen.
But yours got stolen.
Well, I actually
what?
Don't have a copy of Fantastic Beasts because when I was in school, I was 14 at the time or somewhere around that. And my friend, stupid friend, she was like, can I borrow your Fantastic Beasts? And then after a while, she was like, oh, I lost it. And I always suspected somehow, especially now that it's a movie, that she knew it would be a lot of money one day. Because she also took a video game from me. That
oh,
was like a
that's weird.
An old like Discworld like a classic.
Oh my god! Kickstarter like, 2017. Buy Selena a copy of Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah,
I'm starting it right
so
now.
Maybe I do need a new one. I don't know. I just kind of I have my Quidditch and that's it. I don't have a matching one, and it makes me sad.
Oh no! Yeah, the hashtag find Selena a matching set.
Oh yeah, that's sad. No, you can't get one of these now because it'll
no,
also
no.
be it'll
no,
probably
I mean,
like a different height.
Fit.
You know
yeah.
when they don't match
Oh, it's that's like my biggest pet peeve.
When they redo book covers before the series is done, and then like it doesn't match anymore, and you're like, well, now I have to rebuy the whole thing, or I have to have one that just doesn't fit with the rest on my shelf. It's a very confronting. You know, I don't like it at all.
This also upsets me about TV box series. Like, specifically with Merlin. Logo is on the wrong side. Merlin is the worst because they went from, like, these really nice big box sets to, like, these single DVD covers. I'm like, I don't want your single DVD cover. I'll pay extra for my box set.
I have, I got given Parks and Rec, the box set, for Christmas this year. And, like, the first season and the last season are both in black DVD cases, but then the rest are in white DVD cases, and, like, I can see no reason for that to be a thing, except that they were just like, oh, we ran out. And I'm like, just, it's very, very annoying to me. And they're the same size, but, like, they don't match. Ah, stressful times.
Oh, my God.
I know. How are we going to deal with this?
These are, you know, real problems, you guys.
These are real world problems.
Okay, we have one last story for you guys today, and unfortunately we're going to have to end on a somber note, but we could not finish this news roundup without talking about George Michael, who unfortunately passed away at the age of 53 on Christmas Day. This was so sad, especially because, you know, like, George Michael and Wham, they're so ingrained into Christmas with Last Christmas, but of course he's not just known for that. Wham gave us such hits as I'm Your Man, Wake Me Up Before You Go Go, and so many more. And then as a solo artist, he garnered so much success in his own right. You might know him from singles like Faith, Careless Whisper, which everybody I'm sure knows the sax single, like, you know, just like the sax line in that. And also Freedom 90, who's just like such an incredible pop artist and made a huge contribution to the world of music and will definitely be missed. But of course, when these greats leave, the nice thing is that we can remember them through their music.
Absolutely. Another big death. You know, it's been tough. I don't want to say it's been a tough 2016 because I don't believe in the magic of blaming it on a number, but it has been a tough period of time for in terms of in general the world. That's a hard way to end the news too, but it's important, as you said, that we did bring it up because, you know, rest in peace to all these wonderful people. Moving on now to TV show of the week. By the way, listeners, I know you can tell that I'm getting more and more congested as this show goes on because I have such a cold. I'm so sorry. I'm going to try to speak as little as possible. TV show of the week, Pam, take it away.
Okay, so this is my continuation of my telenovela roundup. I promised Raven last episode, which feels like forever ago, that when we came back, the first thing I would do is give a better rundown of some of the shows that I recommended. So these are actually all available on Netflix and Hulu if you guys are interested in checking out some of these. I do want to preface this by saying that telenovelas in general, they follow a certain format, and the more outlandish, the better. So don't go into this thinking that it's going to be the most profound television show you've ever experienced in your life. It's everybody is well aware that they're very hokey. There's always a villain that has like a million different faces because they keep getting plastic surgery. There's always like amnesia or like random fake pregnancy scares, like all of this stuff. But it's just a part of like the allure. And the good thing about this too is like if you wanted to jump into something that was happening right now, they do a really great job of catching you up to speed in the first 15 minutes. And that's one of my favorite things is like when I go over to my grandparents' house, like they still watch like a bunch of stuff that's like running right now. And you can still kind of sit down and like, they'll explain it to you in the commercial. And then like, you can talk about it after. It's like this talking point. It's amazing. Like just kind of like the cultural impact this genre of television has had in Latin America. So anyway, if you're interested in taking the plunge because you like things like Jane the Virgin, you can check out some of these. And so some that are available on Netflix right now are Maria la del Barrio, which is the first novella that I ever watched as a kid. It stars Thalia, who is a singer now. She's had a couple of like mainstream hits that have come over to America, so you might be familiar with her name. She's an orphan who's from the wrong side of the tracks, and then she ends up going to live and work with a rich family. The patriarch, like, kind of takes her under her wing and welcomes her and teaches her manners and how to behave like a young lady and not like, you know, somebody that just grew up on the streets, which she did. But his wife and her handmaid hate her, and so does the girlfriend of the older son, and kind of stuff ensues from there. If you guys have ever seen those really silly memes that are like cries in Spanish or plots to kill you in Spanish, that is actually the main antagonist from this novella. So it's kind of seeped into popular culture today, and it's it's crazy and but also kind of awesome. So that's the first one. The second one I wanted to recommend is called Rebelde, and this is a story about a group of kids who go to this really prestigious boarding school in Mexico, and they form a pop band. So if you're interested in watching something that's like adolescent teen drama but also has like fun music that goes along with it, you can check that out. And then my favorite, because I just really like looking at William Levy's face, is Cuidado con el Ángel, and this is another story about an orphan who runs away from the orphanage where she's placed, and ends up falling in love with this psychiatrist who's vowed to do good in the world because of this dark past that he has. And I won't say anything else because then all of the plot points will start to become revealed. But yeah, so those are a few for you on Netflix. And then Hulu actually has the original Ugly Betty and the original Jane the Virgin. So if you're interested in just like seeing like the things that they might have changed crossing over to America, it might be fun to go back and do that on Hulu. So those are some recommendations for Raven and anybody else that are interested. And that's all I have to say about that. And then very quickly, I wanted to say that I started Netflix's The OA because it's been getting a lot of hype online. And I just finished it last night. I don't know how I feel about the ending, but it was really, really interesting. It does take a couple of episodes to get invested, but definitely worth a watch if you have seen the trailer and you think it might be interesting to you. It deals with near-death experiences. Definitely check it out before you get spoiled at any of the major plot points.
Amazing. Thanks so much for that. Thanks for putting that together. That's really awesome. And thanks for talking about the OA as well, because it's one of the things that are on my list. My ever-growing list. Oh, so depressing, all the TV show you don't have time to watch. Here's something Merrimer doesn't have time to watch.
Sherlock, lol. Something else that I've quit for my peace of mind and mental health. No, but I did watch something over the break, and I cannot recommend this highly enough. I watched over on Netflix Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. It is amazing. There are 8 episodes. I watched them all in one day, and y'all know that I'm so bad at watching TV. So, like, this is a testament to the quality of this show. It's a sci-fi detective series that's based on Douglas Adams' book series. Douglas Adams, of course, wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, so it's kind of similar in style to that sort of weird, surreal kind of take on just normal things that just get more and more bizarre the more you watch it, until you realize, like, this is a totally different show to what I thought it was at the start. It's super stylized, it's really funny, it's also really kind of heartbreaking and emotional and touching in a way. It stars Samuel Barnett, who hype listeners may know from The History Boys, because I think I talk about it all the time. And also Elijah Wood, obviously, from Lord of the Rings. And it has these amazing female characters in it, and it's super surprising. And basically the premise is that Samuel Barnett plays Dirk Gently, who is this holistic detective. So he just believes, like, if he goes about his life, things in the universe will kind of make things happen and everything's connected, and he'll just kind of stumble upon, like, he's a really bad detective, but he kind of has this weird knack for stumbling upon clues or like witnesses, or, you know, he just meets these people who seem totally unconnected, and then somehow it's all connected to this case. And there are a whole bunch of other characters operating at the same time, and you spend the whole time being like, how is this? I know that this is connected, because, like, that's literally the premise of the show, but, like, how? And then it has such a great cliffhanger also. So I'm very excited to say that it has been renewed for season two already. And season two is going to be 10 episodes. So that's very exciting. But yeah, it was, I think it was a BBC America thing, but then it's being put on Netflix. So definitely check it out while it's there. Like, I watched it all in a day. It was amazing. I could not stop watching it. It was just so good. It was like weird and funny and kind of whimsical and beautiful and touching and like just, you know, I'm pretty good at finding holes in things. I'm pretty good at picking at shows, as people who listen to Hype will know. And I just would not change a single thing about this show. Like, it was just so amazing and wonderful.
That's awesome. What a recommendation. So that was a holistic detective agency, right?
Yeah, Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
Great.
Over on Netflix. 8 episodes.
Awesome. Fantastic. So we're going to end the show, as always, with listener feedback. And because we've had a little bit of a break and because you guys have a lot you want to share with us, we have a lot of tweets and I think we should just go through them. So Pam and Marima, if you guys, why don't you guys just go down the list? I'll rest my congested nose for a bit.
Sounds good. This first one is from Kelsey Bolt, who says, I want to thank Hype for mentioning Sing Street the other day because I watched it and holy wow, it was so good.
We have one here from Andriana Castle, who said, just was Sing Street. Oh, another shout out. And I'm obsessed with the music. Thanks, Pam. Also, Marima, when you watched Lady in the Van, did you notice all the History Boys cameos? Oh, speaking of History Boys. Yes, I did. It was a very fun game to point them all out.
The Lady Ash says, any good fandom-related gifts this year that you received and loved? Well, Lady Ash, I got a copy of the Chamber of Secrets Illustrated Edition. And what else did I... I think that's, like, the biggest fandom-y thing I got this year.
Well, so, I got the Parks and Rec box set, as I mentioned before, which was an A-plus gift. Also, I got Star Trek Beyond and Bridget Jones' Baby on DVD. I'm never leaving my house again. We have one here from...
Sorry, I wanted to share. I'm so sorry. I can't find it. Hold on.
Oh,
okay, I can't find it. Doesn't matter. But I actually got something really cool because the place that I was interning for the past 6 months, it kind of was a Christmas gift and it kind of was a going away present. They wanted to buy me something and apparently they had been listening to what I was saying about women and... power and superheroes. So they actually got me a Wonder Woman comic book. And it's my first ever comic book, you guys, because I've never owned... I mean, I've had like Donald Duck and stuff, but not like a superhero comic. And they got me this awesome... I wish I had it in front of me, but I can't find it now. But it's this introduction, basically. So it's a place to dive in, like a collection of stories. And
oh, that's awesome.
First of all, I'm just so excited. I'm so excited to start reading. Yeah, and it was such a nice gesture of them. Like, that's apparently to them what I was about. And I was like, okay, I can live with that.
Have you read The Secret History of Wonder Woman? Like, off topic,
no.
But okay. You should definitely read that. It's by Jo LaPore. She's an American historian, but she wrote this amazing book about the guy who created Wonder Woman, who is the same guy who created the lie detector test. And it's so interesting. Cool. And it's like, she's a historian, but it's written like as a popular history. So shout out to that if you need more Wonder Woman reading. Okay. Anyway, back to tweets. Sarah Venn says, I miss you guys chatting in my ear. Hashtag hype love. Oh, hashtag Sarah love.
Aw.
Yeah, she's the best. I think this is how you pronounce it. If not, I'm so sorry. What do you guys think?
I would say Nye.
Yeah, I would say Nye. We're all complicit in the mispronunciation now.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Nice says, just finished catching up on episodes. Took me a while because I started on the episodes from March 2016, but it was worth it, and it was so good listening to you ladies and Kyle during my free time. That's really nice. Warm fuzzies.
Laura says, Laura says, I'm so bummed about Girl Meets World. I still feel it should have been on a different network. It was not able to reach its full potential on a network that is geared towards children and not teenagers. So many lessons I still wanted to see.
This one's for you, Marima. Mike says, can confirm that Hidden Figures is one of the best things to hit the big screen.
Oh my god, stop rubbing it in. Yes! We know you've seen it. Jeez.
Yeah, we're really jealous.
All right, a better tweet here.
Is it still not out for you?
No,
guys?
It's no, not it out until like February.
It is out, but I just haven't had time.
Well, I'll watch La La Land when you guys watch things. Hidden Figures.
I mean, like I would not watch any other movie for the rest of my life if I could watch Hidden Figures right now. Probably, maybe if I could still watch Star Trek Beyond. Okay, we have one here from Jewel who said, "Took the Love Actually quizzes along with you all. I can't even with these results." And she got Carl, the super hot flake, as her soulmate, and Colin, god of sex, as the character she is. I think I replied, Collins United.
That's hilarious.
That's amazing. Martha Gutierrez says, Sherlock is back. It was so stressful. OMG. I can't wait to hear what you thought. Hashtag save John Watson. Happy New Year. Well, Marima, you missed out because there was a History Boys cameo in the new Sherlock episode, but I watched
what?
It.
What? Who was in it?
Sasha DeWatt, wasn't it?
Oh, what?
Yeah. And he was so good. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, I was really worried, actually, with the new Sherlock that I wasn't going to feel the draw to the show because it'd been gone for so long. But I just, like, I don't know. I was into it within the first 5 minutes. It was a great episode. I'm really excited to watch the new one. Probably not tonight because the Golden Globes are on tonight, but tomorrow.
Okay, we have a tweet from Nikki who said, shout out to awesome podcasts who helped me through commuting and race training this year. And thank you for that shout out. We appreciate it. She also tagged First Draft Podcast and Missed in History.
Mermaid Ray said, have a hypey new year, hype. Thanks for keeping me and other listeners open-minded and well-informed this year, as always.
Okay, we have a tweet from Erica who says, I need Marima to teach me how to quit once upon a time. Okay, here's the first step. Understand that you don't have to watch the show to see pictures of Hook. Like, you can just go on YouTube and watch his scenes. This is seriously my secret to quitting a TV show. This is how I quit Grey's Anatomy. When I realized the only reason I was watching was for Christina Yang, that I could just go on YouTube and watch all of Christina's scenes because other fans like me had compiled them all together. So I would recommend that you just reconcile yourself to the fact that the show is not getting any better. Like, you've given it enough seasons. It's not gonna happen. So just pick the element that is keeping you there.
But maybe if Mulan just comes back one more time.
Yeah, you have to pick the element that's keeping you there. Work out what that is and then be like, oh, if it's an actor, I can see them in other things. Or I can, like, go back and watch my favorite scenes on YouTube. I don't have to keep up with this nonsense.
I do like Hook, though.
I mean, who doesn't?
Anyway, go on.
Who doesn't? I mean.
Kelpie says, finally caught up with Selena Wilkins' interview with what's the name of the linguist?
Oh, it's David J. Peterson.
David J.
It's
Peterson.
The language
What a cool and clever guy. Looking forward to the 100 specials.
Spoiler alert, we recorded
They're
one.
They're coming your way. Yes, we did. For season one, it's coming your way very soon, is what I'm trying to say. Thanks for that. All right, so those were our tweets that we got, and we have a couple of emails as well. And this first one is titled, I hope Pam reads it, so guess who's going to read it? It's Marima.
Could you imagine? Oh my gosh, well.
I can't say the names of those TV shows, so.
you've asked him, I'm about to deliver for better or for worse, so here we go. First and foremost, I want to say that I'm a longtime listener since episode one specifically, back to when Andrew was hosting. I wasn't sure about the reboot at first, but I was pleasantly surprised when the show returned with its new format. What urged me now to write in again, you've read some of my tweets before about my sharing love with Kristen with Smallville and how much I love hearing Selena speak Danish, were Pam's recommendations in the last episodes of Latin telenovelas. Since I'm Mexican and I've been growing up with the genre my entire life, I'm 27. I wanted to chime in to the discussion and make recommendations of my own. First of all, let me say that Maria la del Barrio was the first one that I remember watching consciously, so I loved that you mentioned it. My personal favorites are Amor Real and Cuna de Lobos, but since you mentioned that you love William Levy, you should definitely watch Pasión and Sortilegio. Recently, I fell in love with La Fuerza del Destino and El Color de la Pasión and Yo No Creo en los Hombres. But my classic favorites are Rubí, Teresa, and El Pecado de Oyuki. Anyway, I love every time Pam brings something about our Mexican culture in, and that's what made me write in. Also, I recently watched on Netflix an Australian show, this is for Marima, that is called Please Like Me, and I loved it. Its humor and characters are amazing, and I was so amazed about the fact that the creator is the star of the show. Being gay myself, I found it pretty great and related to many situations. I don't know why, but the show's protagonist and creator reminded me of Andrew Sims. Anyway, hope you've seen it and can talk about it in the future. I really don't have anything for Selena. I plan to start watching The 100 soon, and your specials definitely will make me hurry. Except that I always remember that my cousin told me that Denmark was his favorite country in his Europe trip. And I admire Lars von Trier. These are names that I'm going to butcher. Nicholas Winding. You should take these.
I kind of like your version.
Oh my gosh.
It was Lars von Trier and Nicholas Winding Refn. He's the one who did that movie with Alicia Vikander and Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh,
the royal, the queen, the... What was it? The Royal Affair.
Oh,
that's the one.
Okay.
And Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen. He also put that one in. That's his last one, Mads Mikkelsen. And then continues, I also loved your episode when you and Marima discussed Rogue One because I found both of your opinions very interesting. I personally loved the film. Diego Luna, yay, but you both have great points to discuss, but I was also a little disappointed that you didn't go further into your discussion about Fantastic Beasts, which I also enjoyed, because I wanted to hear Marima's full opinion on it. Well, sorry for my long email, but I hope Pam reads it, and as always, it will sound amazing. Hope you continue with your great work, and my last question is, where is Kyle? I miss him very much, and I'm eagerly waiting for his OA special. Definitely, he should also make one about Sense8, too. Lots of love from Abraham, a Mexican fan. Well, thank you so much for your email. That was awesome.
Ooh, yes. Marima's, one person Fantastic Beasts special will have to be forthcoming.
I thought I complained enough about that. We should probably stop because people would be like, why do you hate everything?
Yes, I will say, Abraham, if you do want more of Marima's thoughts on Fantastic Beasts, because we did release a Fantastic Beasts special, but Marima wasn't on it. But the episode after that, I might try to find you a link specifically because it's a little bit hard to remember, but she did have it as her How We Hype, and she spoke about it for a while and laid out like all of the issues and stuff. And I mean, it's not an hour long Marima breakdown. That'll be a special feature for Hype coming soon, I'm sure. But it definitely was more from Marima than that. And as for Kyle, I mean, going forward on Hype, it's going to be me and Marima and Pam who are going to make up the core sort of week-to-week recording team, as you guys have probably sort of picked up on by now. It's the three of us that are here most of the time. But Kyle and Kristen and Andrew and Karen and Danya and everyone on Hypeable who we've had on a lot and who sort of keep coming back are welcome to come back. And we always, you know, we plan to do a lot more specials as we move forward, and we hope to get their perspectives because the three of us have very different opinions on things, but we're not like the only voices on Hypeable, and everybody has something really awesome to bring to the table, and we hope to be able to feature everyone. And we're talking about doing some different things, and hopefully you guys will be satisfied with what we have planned moving forward.
Hey Hype listeners, it's Pam. Sorry to interrupt this episode of Hype. Hopefully you guys are enjoying it so far. I just wanted to pop in very quickly to let you know that we have one more email to read before we wrap up the show, and it does include some Star Wars Rogue One spoilers, like a lot of spoilers. So we are fully aware that the movie has been out for a couple of weeks in the United States and has opened in other areas around the world, but if in the event you have not watched Rogue One yet, and you're still trying to remain spoiler-free for some reason, just wanted to pop in and put a tiny little spoiler warning here. So if you have not watched the movie and don't want to get spoiled, skip ahead about 2.5 minutes and you will be scot-free in the clear. And you'll get to hear a couple of more little tiny feedback tidbits that we have for you guys before we, you know, do the thing and wrap things up. So yeah, so that's it. And without further ado, I will let you guys get on with the show. Bye.
We have one more email here from Rachel Campbell, who says, "Hey, Hypers, I was just catching up on some episodes after the holidays and just listened to the discussion about Rogue One with Marima and Selena. I was also one of the apparently few Star Wars fans not to like the movie, but when Selena started her explanation, literally every single word she said was exactly what I felt. I loved Force Awakens, but I had a really hard time getting into this movie, and I felt like the whole first half of the movie was just random plot filler and useless backstory. Forrest Whitaker served no purpose and died right away. Every character, sorry, but even Jin, fell flat for me, and I kept wanting to try and care, but I just couldn't, even when they died. The development of Cassian felt rushed and convenient, and the main cast held nowhere near the attention that Rey, Poe, and Finn had. It just was so hard to feel like I should care about them when the backstories were non-existent or rushed, and I already knew everyone died. Nothing happened in Rogue One that changes anything or gives us any new information about the sequels to it. I seriously only liked the robot, and they killed him. I'm just confused that out of all the stories you could choose to tell, why choose one that was so boxed in? It felt totally pointless to me. Selena, your argument was well put, and I'm with you. P.S. I had to cover my ears in parts of this movie, mostly random action scenes. Was it noticeably louder for any of you, or maybe it was just my theater? Anyway, you are all amazing and some of my most favorite internet friends. I can't wait to become a patron and support your great work."
Aw, how wonderful. Thank you, Rachel. Thanks for agreeing with me. No.
Maybe should we put a spoiler warning in front of that before we read it?
Maybe, yeah, it's always tough because it's been out for a few weeks, but maybe we should just in case. No, and I just wanted to say thank you because I think, like, obviously I'm so, like, happy for Star Wars that the movie is getting so much positive attention, and I think it's, when I watched it in Denmark, like, again, sometimes I notice, like, discrepancies between countries when it comes to reactions to these movies because, like, people that I've spoken to in Denmark did not like it. Like, I haven't spoken to a single person in my country who liked this movie. And then everyone on the internet is like, it was the best movie ever. So it's kind of fun. But I'm glad that someone agreed with me in the podcast.
And I continue to totally disagree with you and Rachel. Yeah. Says Rachel. Doesn't seem like you're that cut up about it. Okay. We have one last message here from Michaela, who says, "Hey, Hype. Just wanted to do a quick write-in because this morning I watched the Sense8 Christmas special and it was beyond amazing. I don't know if any of you guys watch this show, a Netflix original, but in my opinion, it is one of the best shows out today. I would kill to hear a special about it as the new scene approaches in May. Mostly, I just want to put it on your radar if it wasn't already. It just did not get enough love." This is another one on my list, but I mean, I still have to watch Westworld and Black Mirror, so maybe don't count on me to be the one to catch up on it. I don't know if either of you guys have seen it. I've heard great things, though.
I gave it a shot. It was a little bit, I mean, I'm not like, when it comes to stuff like on TV, I'm not like, oh, sex, but I felt like, obviously, but I felt like it was a little bit, like, it just put me off. It was just like too
much.
Don't
watch Versailles.
I was like, oh, why? Yeah.
Isn't that a lot
but
of like,
you know, that was for a, well, no, I mean, yes, but Versailles, I mean, look, me and Alex spoke about this, but we did, that how it's like kind of, it's a part of, I don't know, it's more removed, like a lot of other stuff happened. I felt like in Sense8, and to be fair, I've only watched the first episode, so I don't even know, but I felt like it went from like sex scene to sex scene to sex scene to sex scene, and I've just heard about things, kind of like I've heard some stuff about Westworld too, and I'm just like, because it's too much, like Game of Thrones, even it goes too much, and I'm like, ugh, whatever, so that's a reason that I haven't continued watching, I guess, to sum up. Maybe that's harsh. Martha from Doctor Who is in it. She's great.
Before we go, just to let you guys know, we have a new iTunes review if you want to hear that. So.
Oh, cool. Do we? Yeah.
Yes, please.
Okay, cool.
Hit me.
as you guys might know, because we talk about this every once in a while, Marima and Selena cannot see the iTunes reviews in the U.S. store because they're on a different country's iTunes store.
That means Australian and Denmark listeners need to step up.
Yeah, basically that's what it means. You guys,
challenge to you guys.
No reviews.
We are sad and we want to see some reviews, so please leave some in our stores on iTunes.
Pam has a lot of reviews.
Pam gets them all, it's not fair.
Obviously, this is like the most self-gratuitous part of our show when we do this, but we just do it because we really appreciate when you guys leave us a nice little 5-star review on there, because it does help us gain new listeners, and in the end, it also helps us get noticed more, and it gives us the opportunity to bring more awesome special guests on here for you. So it's really nice when you take the time to do that. And here is a review from Ash Between Tin, I think that's how you pronounce it, who wrote on January 3rd in her 5-star review, "I love listening to this podcast. They're great at balancing news and fun, but my favorite thing about the podcast is how they care about diversity. They don't just report on the mainstream whitewashed Hollywood stories, but actually report on books, movies, and TV shows that have diverse writing and characters. Keep up the great work, ladies."
Oh, yay. Thanks, Ash.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. That was really nice. We love that. I mean, wow.
That was really nice.
That was just wonderful.
And also, if you guys want to send us more feedback, our survey is still open, and you can find it on Twitter at Hyperball Hype. It's pinned at the top, I think. So if you want to send us some feedback, yes, on our plans for 2017, we would really appreciate that. It takes like 5 seconds. I mean, it takes a little longer. It probably takes the length of like one of Ed Sheeran's new songs. So you could listen to both of them and decide which one you like better and do the survey at the same time. You could probably do a survey and an iTunes review while listening to those two songs. I'm just saying.
Whoa, don't get wild.
I mean, that could be a little challenge. I don't know. Maybe you could manage that. But yeah, if you want to fill out the survey, it doesn't take long, and we would really appreciate it.
Yeah, hashtag new year, new hype.
new hype, same year, same hype, new year.
Yeah, hype new year. But yeah, no, we do really appreciate that, because as we're moving forward, we want to make sure that we are moving in the direction that you guys all want us to move in. So please help us figure that out. You can send us your own feedback on this podcast, or, you know, on the new stuff that's happening in the world of entertainment in general. Anything you want us to discuss, any comments you have for us, you can send that on Twitter at HyperableHype. You can find us on hyperable.com, which is HYPABLE.com, in the podcast section. You can email us, hype@hyperable.com. And you can find us on Tumblr at hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And if you want to send me cough medicine, you can't. But I'm going to go take some right now, because I can't breathe. So thanks so much, everyone, for listening. And we will see you next week for episode 130. And stay tuned for the 100 season 1 special, as well as the Gilmore Girls summer episode. Please send in your feedback for that, as well as for the 100 season 2. If you want, we will look forward to reading that. My name is Selena.
My name is Pamela.
And I'm Irma.